Hare Krishna. So for the blessings of all the Vaishnavas, past, present, and future, assembled off and online, we'll be continuing reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, starting from text 161 and then chanting responsibly 169. So text 61 onwards. You should not hesitate to act according to my order. Believe in me. Just do what is needed. Just to remind you, these are the words of Gopal. After giving these instructions, Gopal disappeared, and Srila Madhavendra Puri awoke. He immediately called for all the servants of Gopinath, and they came before him. Madhavendra Puri said, "Smear the body of Gopinath with this camphor and sandalwood I have brought for Gopal in Vrindavan. Do this regularly every day. If the sandalwood pulp is smeared over the body of Gopinath, then Gopal will be cooled. After all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is completely independent. His order is all-powerful." The servants of Gopinath became very pleased to hear that in the summer, that in the summer all the sandalwood pulp would be used to anoint the body of Gopinath. So, unexpected surprise for them. Madhavendra Puri said, "These two assistants will regularly grind the sandalwood, and you should also get two other people to help. I shall pay their salaries." In this way, Gopinathji was supplied ground sandalwood pulp daily. The servants of Gopinath were very pleased with this. In this way, the sandalwood pulp was smeared over the body of Gopinath until the whole stock was finished. Madhavendra Puri stayed there until that time. Translation prepared by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. At the end of summer, Madhavendra Puri returned to Jagannath Puri, where he remained with great pleasure during the whole period of Chaturmasya. Purport. The Chaturmasya period begins in the month of Ashvin, June-July, from the day of Ekadashi called Shayana Ekadashi, in the fortnight of the waxing moon. The period ends in the month of Kartik, October-November. On the Ekadashi day known as Uttana Ekadashi, in the fortnight of the waxing moon. The fourth-month period is known as Chaturmasya. Some Vaishnavas also observe it from the full moon day of Ashada until the full moon day of Kartik. This is also a period of 4 months. This period, calculated by the lunar months, is called Chaturmasya, but others also observe Chaturmasya according to the solar months from Shravana to Kartik. The whole period, either lunar or solar, takes place during the rainy season. Chaturmasya should be observed by all sections of the population. It does not matter whether one is grihastha or a sannyasi. The observance is obligatory for all ashrams. The real purpose behind the vow taken during these 4 months is to minimize the quantity of sense gratification. This is not very difficult in the month of Shravan. One should not eat spinach. In the month of Bhadra, one should not eat yogurt. And in the month of Ashvina, one should not drink milk. One should not eat fish or other non-vegetarian food during the month of Kartik. A non-vegetarian diet means fish and meat. Similarly, Masura Dal and Urad Dal are also considered non-vegetarian. These two dals contain a great amount of protein, and food rich in protein is considered non-vegetarian. On the whole, during the four-month period of Chaturmasya, one should practice giving up all food intended for sense enjoyment. Very severe instructions. I just remembered one pastime. His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj narrated in regards to Srila Prabhupada that he was with him, and then Chaturmasya started. And then he wanted to cook for Srila Prabhupada, I think shak. Yeah. And then he said, Srila Prabhupada, but this is, you remember this pastime, right? This is, Chaturmasya, so should we avoid spinach? And Prabhupada asked, other devotees are following? And Bhakti Charu Maharaj said, I don't think so. And Prabhupada said, doesn't matter. Make spinach. So, yeah. And it's very interesting thing, right, that certain instructions Srila Prabhupada gives in his books, which are the law books for 10,000 years. But then he showed by example that, you know, there are circumstances in which you don't have to follow those instructions. So, but yeah, Chaturmasya is period for tapasya. And we just started Chaturmasya, right? And I listened to Navadvip Chandra Prabhu class online yesterday, and he explained how we should all be self-controlled while going through so many difficulties in our practice of Krishna consciousness, and I could definitely relate to that. Because, yeah, material world is full of difficulties, even if you are a devotee, and especially if you live at the Bhaktivedanta manor, life is so difficult, right? Just one little example, you come for prasadam, especially if it is cooked by Acharya Sevak Prabhu, and it is really difficult to figure out how to fit all the preparations on one tray, right? And after you got over this hurdle, then it becomes difficult to lift the tray, right? And then you think, maybe I need here help of some professional weightlifters, like Amit Krishna. Maybe he can help me to lift that tray. And then after you honor prasadam, then there is even more difficulty, right? It's even difficult to keep your eyes open. And you have to crash out for a while. So life is full of difficulties, right? But we have to be determined and very austere to go through all these difficulties. So, yeah, but... yeah, we are in Chaturmasya period. I was thinking that I came here on the 12th of March, so, and today is almost 4 months since I, so I already passed my Chaturmasya at the Bhaktivedanta manor, but no complaints. I think it's Radha Gokulananda's mercy, the best place I could ever get stuck in. And normally for Chaturmasya in India, it's the rain season, and so it's really hard to move. So that's why everyone's kind of staying home, lockdown for 4 months. But it's recommended that this lockdown period is used for increased spiritual practices. And, because we're not in India, so we're active around the year, right? normally. But it's very interesting that Krishna has arranged this situation for everyone to stay home. And I believe devotees benefited greatly from that. I feel a little sorry for the devotees who got in the lockdown in their little flats. I can imagine, you know, being locked down in a little box, nailed in box for a few months. That must be pretty austere. At least we have so much fun in here, right? Dancing, chanting, associating with so many devotees, doing so many things. But, yeah. If we ask them in retrospect, even though it was really hard, I believe, I'm sure they would share that they also benefited from that. Because it's kind of period of self-reflection and regulation. You know, you are limited in terms of what you can do externally, so the only option is to go internally. And, study more Shastra. I mean, it's never been time for me in years. I could give so much time to reading Prabhupada's books, especially Bhagavatam, almost finishing four cantos with Sanskrit and purpose, everything. And so, yeah, canto a month, plus other things along the other engagements, and a lot of preaching engagements, because, you know, there is no time, there is no need to spend time for traveling, so you just turn, you know, click the button, you're right there. So it's very interesting, and sometimes Krishna is arranging these things for everyone's benefit, so it's kind of recession period for the whole planet, reboot thing for the whole planet, and it will be very interesting to see the world after the lockdown. We don't know how it will change, but definitely it will never be the same anymore, and definitely it's the part of the plan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And yeah, everyone benefited from that. Of course, certain things which did happen were not very joyful, especially losing the association of His Holiness Bhaktacharya Maharaj. And I heard a lot about, his situation. And it's very interesting to understand in retrospect what really did happen. Because it seemed to be something very unfair. But actually, it's Krishna's blessing in disguise, if we think about it, because whatever Krishna is doing, it's all blessings. We cannot understand it fully from the start, but then in retrospect, we can understand that. And one thing which is very interesting, I don't know if many of you have followed that, there is one video clip which is quite widely circulating on the net. Was it his last class in Ujjain when he was speaking that, I should go to America, I cannot stay here because so many of my disciples are fighting at the forefront of preaching. So I'm, as a leader, I cannot stay behind and just tell them, okay, you go and risk your lives, I should go there as well. And so that's why I will go to America to join my disciples in developing this project, even though everyone was telling him not to go. So he went. And it's pretty clear that he was very well aware of the risk going into the country where the pandemic is the worst, right? And then it was very interesting. I think this was the first class he gave upon arrival. And if anyone heard that, this class basically was dedicated to memories of Srila Prabhupada, how Srila Prabhupada was fearlessly facing the prospect of leaving the body, and because he was realized soul, so he didn't have this bodily concept. And of course, sharing, as he did many times, his agony of separation from Srila Prabhupada. And then one devotee sent us in the Sabha group his Vyasa Puja offering to Srila Prabhupada from 2012. And especially last two paragraphs are very revealing. Basically, in these two paragraphs, he says, Srila Prabhupada, whatever you wanted me to do in this world, I've already done in 2012. And I really want to join you in your pastimes. And you granted special mercy to some of your spiritual sons and daughters who left this world and joined you, and please grant this mercy upon me as well. So already in 2012, he was eager to leave this world, and he considered that he had nothing, has nothing else to do in here. So he had that very strong love and separation from Srila Prabhupada, and, you know, further verses and purpose will be explaining that, because this is the this is the goal of practicing Krishna consciousness, to develop love and separation from the Supreme Lord and attachment to the Lord's representative spiritual master is the doorway which can help us to enter into that realm of love and separation from the Lord. And, I doubt he did it purposefully, but he definitely, you know, it's definite fact that so many devotees prayed for his recovery. It didn't happen. That means his desire, Prabhupada's desire, and Krishna's desire was different, right? That all three decided, okay, he should go, and then he left. But then we might say, okay, you know, he's enjoying his new life with Krishna in the spiritual world. But what about, so many disciples, followers, and many other devotees in ISKCON? It's very interesting that many devotees share that we heard so much of the glories of Bhaktacharya Maharaj in the past few days, and now we kind of, you know, lamenting why all these glories were not revealed in his lifetime, and why he was not appreciated enough in his lifetime, why only after the departure. And so, we could take more advantage of his association and have more appreciation towards him. But this is part of the Lord's plan, because certain things Maharaj wanted to do, and he was really stressing those things. And because he was one of the leaders, he was one of the GBC members, one of the gurus. So even though these statements were taken seriously, but not seriously enough to drop everything aside and just focus on doing what he wanted to achieve. But it's very interesting, for example, reflecting back on Ayendra Prabhu, right? That in his lifetime he was stressing Harinam Sankirtan all over the world, how important it is. But in his lifetime it didn't happen, right? Interestingly enough, all these things started happening after his departure. So it seems to be the pattern. And so it looks like by his departure, Srila Bhaktacharya Maharaj not only fulfilled his greatest longing to be with Srila Prabhupada in the spiritual world, but he also facilitated fulfillment of his mission. Because many devotees are discussing this point, that what is our duty towards him right now? And they come to the conclusion that we need to do what he wanted to do, right? That in this way we can serve him. And what were his strongest unfulfilled desires? Anyone knows? What was his focus? I mean, he did many things, but there was one thing he was very, very concerned with, and it didn't happen. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshmananma, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. Few things, but I think something which is, I mean, certain things in relation to leadership, but one point he really wanted to see different in our society is to come back to the same mood and same operational mode under which ISKCON was functioning in Prabhupada times. Same focus which was in Prabhupada times. And the focus was on local people, attracting local people to Krishna consciousness. And how well we are doing in here is not difficult to see, because it's either people from all over the world, luckily Bhaktivedanta Mather is international Santa, or local devotees, but mostly from Indian community, right? Primarily Gujarati community. Nothing against Gujarati community. It's wonderful. I think Srila Prabhupada would be really happy because, Gujaratis are special, being direct descendants of Krishna, right? For those who are not aware, Gujarat started from Dwaraka, and we know who started Dwaraka, right? So Gujaratis are physical descendants of Krishna. So that's why their devotion to Krishna is kind of natural, right? And plus wonderful qualities, high level of professionalism and humility and service attitude. That's why, not just manner, but the whole UK and Australia and to major part US and Canada as well is supported by Gujarati community. But nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada was making this point, and Bhaktacharya Maharaj was making this point very, very regularly, that it doesn't require much effort to attract Indians to Krishna consciousness. Because he was saying, I mean, Indians are naturally Krishna conscious, right? Because Krishna is their God, so not a big deal to convince them about the importance of Krishna consciousness. But our focus should be local population, local people. And it's wonderful that there is so much support we're getting from Indian communities worldwide. But it's really important to use that, you know, great facility. I remember Sri Bhuvanath Prabhu when he was here. And of course, his effort was solely and wholly to reach out to local people, to English people, in here with his festivals. And when he stayed at the manor, I remember one time he made a comment that devotees at the manor are practicing cozy yoga. You know, everything's paid for, everything is organized, so no worries. Right? So it's good, it's Krishna's mercy. And it's part of Sankirtan Yajna, because we know what Sankirtan Yajna is giving, right? Because the Lord is pleased, Tushti Krishna Jagat Tushtam, everything is provided, right? But it's really important, rather than being complacent, to focus on doing what Srila Prabhupada was doing and what Srila Prabhupada wanted to see happening. And, of course, Bhakti Charu Maharaj being, you know, very close associate of Srila Prabhupada, he picked up this mood from him. And of course, we know Radha Govinda Prabhu, he is making this effort to reach out, and few devotees are helping him. So one department is there for Western outreach. And I asked him the other day after the class, what are the results? So he said, I believe about 15 people started practicing Krishna consciousness in 3 years. So 5 people a year. So I was wondering if that ratio is good enough, effective enough. 5 people a year. So if not, maybe something else should be done. And yeah, how many of you think it is important to use all the facility, all Krishna's mercy we've got right now to focus on fulfilling Prabhupada's desire to attract local population to Krishna consciousness? Anyone thinks it is important? Okay, so yeah, maybe then we can think of how we can all contribute to that, not just, you know, leave it to one department, but it should be our sole focus of everyone, right? And yeah, all these things are happening in the lockdown, so it's a very good time for contemplation, because two things are important. Outreach is important, making effort to introduce people to Krishna consciousness. And this is what the sadhus traditionally used to do. This is why they traveled far and wide, not staying in one place, but constantly moving for 8 months nonstop. But then the nature, at least in India, arranged things in such a way that for 4 months they would have lockdown. And that time was used for personal spiritual practices. So, because both things are important. Outreach, giving Krishna consciousness to others, is compared to work. This is our work. Work for Krishna, right? I'm saying that there are 4 levels of work. 1, work for someone. higher level is work for yourself, be self-employed, right? Then even higher level, work on yourself, be in goodness. And top level is work for Krishna, right? So this is what we are trying to do, working for Krishna. But if you work, but if you don't eat, what will happen? You'll get exhausted, right? But if you only eat and not work, what will happen? You die of obesity, right? That's something I'm trying to avoid. But yeah, that's why there should be balance. And so, at least in India, being very special country, so the nature arranged it in such a way that there is a balance. 4 months for association and personal spiritual practices, and the rest, 8 months, is dedicated for teaching people Krishna consciousness and spreading the message. And so, yeah, in here, Madhavendra Puri specifically, he chose a holy place for his lockdown for 4 months. And we know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same thing. And he was very successful during his Chaturmasya period in Sri Rangam temple because he stayed with Venkata Bhatta. And we know that his son later became one of the six Goswamis, one of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So, and yeah, let's see if there are any comments, any questions. Especially, I would be interested to know if you have any ideas how we can fulfill that desire of Bhaktacharya Maharaj in more effective way. I'm sure Radha Govinda Prabhu will be happy to hear those ideas. Okay, Sam, and maybe Antaranga Prabhu and Roberto.
Thank you for the class, Maharaj. One of the ways which I was thinking of is what's very attractive for Westerners, especially is like sustainability, kind of green living. So work with the farm and the Goshala is definitely a big area that could attract Westerners.
Very good, yes. And probably not just creating one or two farms, as devotees were trying and still trying to do, but figuring out, because we spoke about it a little bit, you know, mostly farmers, because they live in a natural environment, so they take care of cows, they tend to be influenced by goodness. So normally, I mean, if you had association with these people, they are much better people than city people, right? They have more goodness, they are more personal than, you know, city dwellers. And naturally, because they take care of the cows, they become attached to the cows. And most of them, they hate killing the cow. And so what they choose to do, because, you know, they have to do it for their survival, basically speaking, because without killing the cow, they couldn't figure out how to maintain, how to sustain their business, but they prefer to sell the cow and not actually know what will happen, even though they know what will happen, but they kind of pass on the responsibility, right, to someone else. But, and it's a fact that in Australia, one devotee, he's one of my friends, and he's in charge of the New Govardhan community and in New South Wales, and he spoke to the farmers because he's big time into farming, and he spoke to the farmers and they told him openly, if you guys tell us how to live without killing the cow, how to maintain our farms, we'll be happy to follow that. So basically speaking, farmers are ready We just need to tell them what to do, how to do. So they just looking for our guidance. So, and I mean, we read in Bhagavatam the descriptions how prosperous were, you know, like Nanda Maharaj's village, for example, how they were prospering just by taking care of the cows. So, but we need to figure out practically how to do that. And then, yeah, so many farmers can follow us. And yeah, I mean, to encourage them to chant Hare Krishna is not a big deal. So we can, yeah, massively influence people if we crack that thing. Figure out how can they, how cow protection for them can be sustainable. Antaranga Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful points and nice question in terms of how to do the outreach. What I've found out is that in terms of Sankirtan book distribution, that last year, 2019, our goal for the marathon was not only to distribute books, but also to get contacts from people. So, and I see the journey of people which I met on the street, how they kind of get in touch with the devotees, how they start coming for courses, how they start coming to the manor, how they start coming to Krishna wisdom, and how their journey is completely changed. So I think there's no shortcut to making a devotee, and it takes a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, and I think devotees should meditate upon that. It's not easy, but it's possible, and it's all based on that, those relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, calling them, how are you, texting them, email, how's things, what are you reading, what are you doing. Like, for instance, now in the whole period of lockdown, I think something about 7 people just dropped me a text message and email, like, oh, I got these books like last year from you, how are you doing? So I think this lockdown is a good period because people makes them churn things internally, and they really like reach out to you. So I think that's one of the very good ways to do it, that we see what is the goal of book distribution. Mm. Not to distribute books, but actually to make devotees.
Yeah, cultivate people, develop relationship. Thank you. If you can pass to Dr. Roberto. And it's interesting that who is making the comments about how to attract white people to Krishna consciousness. So, you know, it's like no-brainer. White people can know how to attract white people, so it's like given. They're the knowledge workers.
Well, thank you very much, Maharaj, for the points. I guess that white body people would like to kind of a personal, like, grow personal development, understand them better. So actually, I think that already the part of this we are doing in the School of Bhakti, and it can just be expanded more and through, like, you know, that this also, I would say, like, way of living also, like, in sattvic way of living. I think it's a big thing that we can believe. Yeah, so, and caring for people, of course.
Yeah.
To care for them.
Yeah, there is a powerful model in former Soviet Union of personal development courses organized by the devotees. And if anyone is wondering what is the secret behind exponential growth of Russian-speaking community, devotee community, it's very simple. That few devotees started, organized and promoted personal development courses. And so this is how it grew. And I'm working with few of them. Like, one is they started a branch of what is called IFAST, International Institute for Applied Spiritual Technology. So that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj started, and now Russian devotees picked it up, so they created this IFAST in Kazakhstan, actually. Because one lady, she's professional doctor and psychologist. She organized that, and now so many projects branched out from that. That's like, I've been to one of their meetings. It's like probably 30 or 40 projects branched out from this institute. And they're growing on their own like mushrooms pretty much. And so many people taking up to Krishna consciousness. So yeah, very easy. You wanted to say, Prabhu? I think it's off your mic.
And that reminds me, when I look around, I see very few black-bodied devotees, and female especially. There aren't any. I hardly see it. You know, maybe one or two. Maybe in this country. Maybe not in this country, but maybe elsewhere. But devotees like Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he had a real knack. He really knew how to draw, pull these. Obviously, it's a given because it was black-bodied. So I'm thinking that maybe we talk about bringing in white people from the white community. I'm thinking, well, how do we work a strategy out actually to attract black-bodied potential devotees?
Yeah.
So that's something maybe we can...
Yeah, it's really funny because I've been to Durban, South Africa a few times, and it's hilarious how, you know, the Sunday feast... So many people come. It's like big temple of understanding. I don't know if anyone's you've been there. Huge temple. And, you know, a lot of people come for the Sunday feast. And it's like maybe about 600-700 people fitting into the temple room. They have a big temple room. And probably 3 or 4 African devotees. And that is South Africa. It's like unbelievable. Huh? Yeah. The whole Africa. No Africans in Africa. At least in Krishna consciousness. It's like really strange. And Prabhupada was really upset about it at one point. Because those tendencies were already there in his time. So because he was saying, where are the Africans? Why are there only Indians? Yeah, it's true. Okay, and then Mohan.
Marge, I wanted to mention that health is really important. And a lot of people are into health. And if we can tap into that some way. Many years ago, me and Dina Krishna, we was having like yoga sessions. But however, we would do mantra meditation as well. So we would do a long Maha Mantra Kirtan, and we had so many yoga instructors and stuff coming down. This is now central London. But we stopped it. If we have... People are interested in yoga. So and of course, another thing is to get people to kind of sell organic produce to people. And in that way, we can introduce, like what Sam was saying, tap into... agriculture, like farming and stuff like that, how we're doing things, and we can start giving them that prasad and stuff like that in terms of offer the fruits and veg and introduce them to our community. Look, this is what we're about, the Krishna conscious community, like that.
Good. Words of wisdom from professional sportsmen. Okay, Mohan.
I think here at the manor, we're definitely not short of resources, and we're definitely not short of programs and things to captivate local people. But I think, as Antaranga Prabhu was saying, and I've personally experienced this myself, is the approach that we take, the mood that we go with. Oftentimes, if we treat the programs like a recruitment process, like, yeah, let's just get as many people as possible, then people will sense that. It's like, oh, what the hell's going on? But if we genuinely develop relationship, build relationship, and even if we build a relationship with just one person, that one person can share their experience with others. And that's like one person, three people, just through one person. So I think more than focusing on what program should we create, because there's so many that School of Bhakti do, there's so many that Krishna Wisdom do, instead of focusing, okay, what new things can we create, maybe focus more on the infrastructure. How can we, how can we develop the right mood? How can we go with a mood of caring and loving and sharing? And, you know, and it's not just that we tell these people every time that we have a program going on, hey, there's this program going on, that program going on. Even outside of this, like if there's a feast going on, because this is what I used to do myself. If there's a feast going on, a kirtan going on, it's like, hey, look, you know, there's not an event going on, but I would love to, I just thought about you. Why don't you come along? There's a feast going on in the manor. It would be really great. Maybe invite along some friends. Because then it really becomes about relationship. It's not like, oh, this person just contacts me every time there's a program going on. So this person genuinely cares about me. And that's what people are moved more by. And that's what people really want, not to hear more knowledge and wisdom, but for someone to love them and for someone to care about them and for someone to be genuine with them. So I think this is my thought.
Very good. Yes, customer care training is required for devotees. If, you know, in a couple of days we'll be celebrating incorporation of ISKCON. So ISKCON is corporation, right? So if we are a spiritual corporation, we really need to focus on customer care.
If we can develop ourselves, our taste for Krishna consciousness, if we really get a taste for chanting Hare Krishna, and basically we should become ecstatic chanting Hare Krishna. If we don't, it's because obviously the clouds are covering the sun, you know, of Krishna. So we have to... Because I was just thinking that, like, I have a brother who... who's actually pretty much in the mode of goodness. He's been a vegetarian all his adult life. You know, he's got good qualities, very clean and things. But he thinks Krishna consciousness is too austere. Because I haven't personally been able to show that actually it's joyful. So we have to be joyful. And we get, and by really taking shelter. And then that's why Srila Prabhupada could attract people. He was just speaking, you know, and just giving some classes. But people could, you know, could see that he was like fully satisfied. He was happy, joyful, and it sort of exuded out of him, didn't it? So as individuals, we've got to actually, because I think sometimes, speaking for myself anyway, I think, you know, I don't want to be a sahajya and you know, just aspire for something that's impossible, you know, like being really, really joyful in Krishna consciousness. But actually, I'm beginning to think now, actually, we should aspire for that, to be genuinely joyful, and then people will take. Because otherwise, you know, why should they bother? You know, it's actually a different culture to what they're used to, and how can they give? It's very difficult to change, especially when you're like older. Your culture completely. When you're brought up, that's why, you know, the Gujaratis or the Indians find it easier to take to Krishna, because it's part of their culture, but it's not part of the culture of the. So therefore, there has to be. They have to see that actually the devotees are really happy, genuinely joyful, and then, you know, then they can give up, you know, the non-culture of Western life, and they can take up something new. With the conviction that actually they will become happy by taking up Krishna consciousness, because we're happy, the devotees who are already taking it are happy, so we have to become happy in Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, you know, and you know that's why, you know, we have to really, really take shelter of chanting the holy name and actually feeling ecstatic chanting the holy name. I mean, I can't say that I'm feeling that myself now, but. I'm beginning to realize that actually we have to aspire for that.
Very good. Yeah, maybe all of us can think, how can we change our lives to be more happy in Krishna consciousness? Otherwise, you know, it's like scaring people. We don't want to scare people off with our sad faces. All right, Mohan and then Sam. Or ladies also, yeah. Okay, 10 o'clock today, congregation. Okay, all right, yeah. Mohan?
Yeah, I just wanted to agree with what Prabhu was saying. There's a really nice quote that came into mind that people will forget what you do for them, people will forget what you say to them, but people will never forget how you made them feel. And the thing is, you can't make someone feel what you're not feeling yourself.
Mm.
So I think that's the most important thing, that we don't treat outreach activities mechanical.
Mm.
You know, that we're actually experiencing Krishna consciousness, that we're experiencing joy and bliss, and we're training. And I've experienced this personally, actually. I used to be put on the Sunday services, and I used to preach to outside people about the manor, about different Prabhupada's room. And I've actually observed the difference myself, that when I was first put on the service, it's like, oh, why do I want to do this? Okay, it's just like, just tell them what they want to hear and this and that. And then they would actually leave and never come back. But then when I actually started to kind of try and absorb myself more into the Krishna consciousness and experience joy and happiness and bliss and just chant, you actually see, even if you just say this, like, even if you just say short, like just short sentences or short words, it really leaves a lasting impact on them.
Mm.
Because they're not really listening to the words, they're buying more into you. You're the product, you're the end product. I'm seeing this person and he's saying so and so and so, but is he living it? If he's living it, that's what I want. Mm-hmm. Not what he's telling me. Because there's so much. There's a quote that says, we live in a world where people are drowning in information and seeking for wisdom. And wisdom is practical. Information is like, it's just everywhere.
Yeah, thank you. Just before Sam says, but you can. I was thinking there is one thing which was making, you know, in relation to that, feeling ecstatic in Krishna consciousness. One reason, of course, Prabhupada was there, but one reason why people felt so drawn into Krishna consciousness and so enthusiastic joining the movement in Prabhupada times was very simple, that Prabhupada wanted them to join because he had mission for them, right? He counted on them for doing something serious. Are we having the same mood in terms of making people join us? Or we just want them to become clogs in the wheel? You know, nobody wants to become clog in the wheel. But if you, you know, so it's basically a question, you know, if we want to attract so many Western people to Krishna consciousness, I think it's a very important question, that why do we want to attract them? What's the purpose? Because unless one, you know, is inspired by the purpose, no one will feel genuinely happy, neither inside or outside of the movement. So I think that's important. All right, Sam, you wanted to say last comment, or ladies? Yeah, okay. Abhi.
Yeah, thank you so much for the class, and thank you for bringing up this topic. I think like first step is to have these conversations more, because it's like we just go for prasad and we just forget about this now. But I think this is a really important topic, because we have such a big temple, but I don't know, it does feel dry, I guess, with the preaching, because for the time I've been here, I've not really been so much engaged in outreach. I've been doing book distribution where I can, but it's not the same as like having relationship with locals and really knowing, like having projects here to do and having plans and giving your ideas. Like it's not there. So I think more so the other temples which are closer to cities, they have this, and it is harder because obviously we're quite far away, but it's still possible. And yeah, so I think just to have these conversations more and like plan, even in Easter Ghosty, just to have these discussions of how we can have outreach more and how we can do this, because we have so many ideas that we just don't express, and we're just kind of going on with the same routine, but we have, yeah, we can do a lot more, I feel. So this would be
Yeah. Yeah, Ishtagoshtis were something Srila Prabhupada not only encouraged, but he insisted that every temple should have regular weekly Ishtagoshti. And unfortunately, it's like you'll be really lucky. I mean, so far I haven't come across any temple these days where this standard is still happening. I don't know if you ever came across any temple. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting because I've been to Golokadam, but I didn't know that they have Ishtagoshti. Yeah, it is important. And a very important quote from the great grandfather of our Ambarish Prabhu, Henry Ford, who said, if you want money, ask for advice, get money. Ask for money, get advice, right? So basically speaking, that refers to if we take people seriously, they will take us seriously, right? And so, yeah, when we interact, starting with devotees and extending that to other people, if we're really interested in what they have to say and what they're interested in, they will be interested in us and what we want to do as well. So, yeah, again, relationship building, but it's not meant to be artificial. It's meant to be real, and that should be quite inspiring. All right, so we'll finish here. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande.